Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you would take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. In the last few weeks, as we have unfolded this precious book, looking at the heart of the apostle, Paul has painted the last couple of weeks, at least, he has painted a picture of ministry, both his ministry and also ministry in us. He said ministry is not just speaking, but it's letting go and loving and forgiving. Kay bought me a little, a little notebook on the cover. It says, "Let it go." I just love it when people throw my messages at me, you know. No, I appreciate it. Sometimes we need to learn that, just to let it go. Don't let the enemy get in there and tie us up, keep us from serving the Lord. You know, he can. Sometimes it's the least little thing or an offense that only we know about. The other person doesn't even realize that they offended. And it ties us up and ties our hands in ministry. He talks about ministry as spreading the aroma of Christ in a smelly, dying world. I've heard some various comments about this. You know, I pray that you are spreading the fragrance of Christ as you move around in your world. He also says that ministry is the realization that the glory of the new covenant is greater than the old covenant. That's what we talked about last week. Hallelujah. How many believe that what the Lord has done inside of us and is doing inside of us is greater than the law? Yeah. We have to remember that when we make our list of things to do, right? He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from law and lists. Freedom to continuously reflect the glory of the Lord on our faces. Freedom to be transformed into the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Amen. Hey, feel free this morning to reflect some of that glory of the Lord on your faces. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and say, howdy. See, when you look at one another, it always helps. It just, looking up here at me, kind of look like you're under the burden of it. Paul, now in our passage this morning, he shifts his discussion about ministry to the expectations, if you will, of ministry. He calls us to not be discouraged. Tells us that we are on display in jars of clay. That because we believe, we therefore speak. I'm going to unpackage those three things to you this morning. If you remember the very first sermon that I preached, some of you were around here 8 years ago, the first sermon that I preached that the Lord laid up on my heart to share with you was that unrealistic expectations are our greatest source of discouragement and stress in our lives. And I can't tell you how true and real I believe that is. Unrealistic expectations, whether it be of other individuals or, in this case, even of ourselves. It's very easy for us to expect more of ourselves spiritually than perhaps we're capable of at a particular time. The enemy likes to do that. He likes to tap us on the shoulder and say, well, compared to that person over there, you're just nothing. You just don't have it going. Oh, well, look at that one over there. They really have got it going, but not you. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you've heard that voice once or twice. The Apostle Paul has just told us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is glorious freedom in the presence of the Lord. When we walk after the Spirit, wow, anything can happen. God can use us mightily. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? I hope you really believe that this morning. Not in our strength, not in our ability, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If we listen to His Spirit and He dispatches us, He will give us everything that we need when we go and follow after Him. Praise His holy name. Chapter 4 begins with that word, therefore. And the therefore is therefore because it is that reflecting the Lord's glory. Verse 18, when we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, this is really, I'm going to do just a little bit of textual criticism here, if I could. This is not the full reading in the original language of the Bible. Because if you unpackage the words, it actually reads, therefore, having this ministry, even as we obtain mercy, we faint not. Listen to this. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Again, the actual translation says, therefore, having this ministry, even as we obtain mercy, we faint not. Because the Lord is pouring into our lives, transforming us and using us, if you will, painting His glory upon us, we should not become discouraged or faint-hearted. We do not lose heart. It means to lose one's courage or become slothful in duty. We don't slack off. We don't lose heart. We don't step away. My goodness, I have seen this so many times throughout my lifetime of watching individuals as they walk out their faith. Sometimes the least little thing occurs and they're stopped in their tracks. They sing, they minister, they play instruments, they do different things. And then all of a sudden, something comes along, a little, if you will, sting of some sort. And the enemy loves to do this. In this world, you will have tribulation, bad stuff, difficult stuff is going to come along, folks. But what you and I have to be assured is that the greater work that is being done inside of us, the glory of the Lord that is in us and upon us, needs to transcend the things that happen to us. And I've often said, if a scratchy voice or a little bit of a tickle in your voice will stop you from singing, the enemy will make sure you have one of those every week. There are times that we need to step into it. We need to say, no. You are not going to stop me. Now, please, I'm not talking about if you've got the flu and a fever. Stay home. Okay, because the rest of us don't need whatever you got or have, whatever. I'm talking about just where he brushes up against us and, you know, oh, I'm kind of sore today. So I'm not going to be able to do my ministry. He says, don't let that happen because there's greater things, greater love, greater power that the Lord is wanting to exemplify through you. And if the enemy can stop you with a grain of discouragement or distress, he will do it over and over and over and over again. I guess I could put it in this term. Don't be discouraged by your weaknesses. Oh, I just can't serve because, you know, I've got this thing in my life. Now, if you're living in open sin and you've got an affair going on and all these kinds of things, no, you're right. You need to take a step back and you need to get your house in order. But if you're dealing with something in your flesh and your spirit is crying out and you are bringing your flesh into obedience, but your flesh continues to disobey and you have a struggle, huh? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Am I talking to all perfect people here? Okay. See, most of us have struggles. Most of us say things, do things that we in our spirit man do not want to do. And we look up and we have done this thing again and we can get distressed and get discouraged and say, oh, I'm just no good. I just should just step away. They don't need to hear from me. I should not witness for the Lord because I just cannot live this thing perfect. Guess what? Nobody has but Jesus. The Apostle Paul was not perfect. We have a few of his encounters with other individuals. He and Barnabas had tremendous ministry together, but they came to an impasse because Paul would not go on the next journey as long as John Mark was coming because John Mark had failed them and had to go home. But Barnabas, being the son of encouragement, said, no, John Mark's going to go with us. And Paul says, no, John Mark's not going to go with us. He's not going to go with us and then turn around and leave again. Barnabas says, well, I'll just take him and go. And Paul says, that's fine. I'll go on my own. I'll go with somebody else. I'll take Silas with me and we'll go. That wasn't a pretty picture. That was some real stubbornness in there. There was, I believe, some of Paul's flesh in there. Because what's interesting is later on, he says, oh, by the way, bring John Mark with me because he's beneficial. So John Mark proved himself and proved Paul to be wrong, actually. I know that it gets really quiet when you start talking about any transgression that Paul may have made, but I guarantee you he was human. And he was wrestling just like you and I are with his flesh. You know, we read Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Hallelujah! We see Paul sitting in prison just going, woo, like this. I guarantee you not all the hours were that way. His spirit had to prevail over his flesh that was being rubbed by the chains. He would have been sick sometimes, eating the garbage that they threw in their direction. He would have been hurting. And his body would have been crying out to him. And you cannot tell me that there were not times that he says, why am I having to go through all of this? You know how I know that? Because he talks about it continually. Read his books. What I'm saying to you is, see, the man who wrote this knew about weakness. The man who wrote this knew about discouragement. But he's saying to us, don't give in to it. Listen to his response to giving in to it. He says, but rather, verse 2, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. I put it this way. Our response in place of discouragement, no tricks, no gimmicks. No tricks, no gimmicks. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. The other evening, I don't remember what channel it was on, and a fellow preacher of the gospel, let's say, a preacher of something, came on there and told everybody, send me $20 and I'll send you this cloth. And you can put this cloth on your body and you will be healed. Huh? To me, that's tricks and gimmicks. He doesn't have to live with the recourse of his actions. All he knows is that there's a bunch of people out there that are hurting in their physical bodies, and if he can get them to send him $20, he gets richer. See, to me, that's all of these. It's secret and shameful ways, it's deception, and it's a distorting of the Word of God. Oh, well, I'm doing it because, when Paul was preaching, when Peter was preaching, they took pieces of cloth, and if he held them in his hand, then they passed them around. And so, therefore, that's what this, that's a total distortion of the Word of God. See, we need to understand, folks, that these things are around. And I can tell you exactly how it happens. The man takes on a ministry of healing. He promotes himself as a minister of healing. People gather around because they want to be healed. And so that's where you get these things where somebody in the crowd is going out there interviewing people and finding out what's wrong with them, and then letting the preacher know with a earbud and telling him the Lord told me that you have such and such, and the Lord told me. Now, let me tell you, there is a legitimate on that. There is a legitimate where the word of the Lord is spoken to a servant's heart, but there are also charlatans. Maybe at one point in time, that man did hear the voice of the Lord telling him what was going on in people's lives. But then maybe because of his pursuit of money rather than the Spirit of the Lord, he lost track of that voice of the Lord. And now you got to do something to make up for it because people are coming to hear it. See, be careful. Be careful as you get discouraged. Be careful as you get distressed that you don't replace the glory of the Lord with the glory of you. Out of deception and distortion of the Word of God to make you look good. He says, on the contrary, speak plainly the message. By setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That says, we present ourselves, that is, to witness to every man in the sight of God. May your life be a witness of what God is doing in your life. Don't be ashamed to tell them, look, God's still working on this flesh. It will be redeemed when he comes back, and probably it will be redeemed from the grave. But his Spirit is moving inside of me. He is moving me from glory to glory. He's doing things inside of me. And I want you to know my Jesus. Let him be glorified. Look what he says. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If somebody doesn't get it, it's because they are refusing to get it. Because it will not be through your chicanery or anything that you make them understand. It will be by the Spirit of the Lord speaking into their life. Will they hear the Spirit? Will they reject the Spirit? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What's the God of our age? I sat and pondered that for a while. Self, I believe, is the God of our age. Self. You don't believe me? Just get in your car and drive down 37. Drive up toward Indianapolis. And you will understand, before your journey is over, you will understand the God of this age is self. You said in those lines, where people, you have to go one after the other. Some people are just, it's just them first. Everybody's in a long line of traffic because of construction. And then you get these people that shoot off onto the apron and go up on the outside because it's them first. They need to get up to the beginning more than everybody else needs to get through there. Now, I'm just giving you one illustration of this, but it goes over and over and over again. The God of this age, I believe, is self. And this self keeps them. It blinds them. Any possibility that God might desire to be Lord over their life causes them to not believe because they want to retain the control over their lives. They cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The bottom line, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord. We don't just preach Jesus Christ, we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, is what Paul says. That means absolute ruler. Folks, it is not enough for you and I to simply acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is not enough for us to just give mental service to this thing, but rather we have to bow the self of our life, the God of this world that is in our lives, bow ourselves to His glory, to His praise, to His honor, because He's worthy. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We need not lose heart or be discouraged because we do not preach ourselves, but rather we ourselves have received the light of the knowledge of the gospel and simply reflect the glory of our Savior and Lord. This is not about how good. You are not eligible to preach the word, to testify, and to tell people about Jesus because you're so good. You are eligible because of what Jesus has done at the cross. So see, when you move forward to ministry, you think, "Oh, I can't say anything. Oh my goodness, my life's a mess. Everything, oh my goodness, I haven't conquered this. I haven't done this. Those discouragements that come in, those distresses that come in, they're just from the devil, because you are never going to get good enough to be able to enunciate this glorious message. You see, I had to come to the realization a long time ago, and it took me a little bit to come to this, because I thought that I could come to the place where I could speak and I would be speaking the voice and the word of the Lord and would never make a mistake. It wasn't very far into the ministry that the Lord helped me with this. Times 1,000. That as hard as I try, as much as I prepare, as much as I pray, still when I stand in the pulpit, I'm still in this body. And so things will come out that I really don't intend completely to come out in the way that they come out. I try really hard, but still some things miss. You understand that? I'm not standing before you here this morning as your pastor and preaching the word of God to you because I've got this all locked up or sewed up. I'm doing it because the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ has shone brightly in my heart, in my life. And He has called me to convey to others what He has and is doing in my life every single day. He is still working on me. His Spirit is still working on my flesh. My mind is still being moved and ministered to by Him. I've come to the understanding I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do very little or nothing in myself. And I'm not ashamed of that. For it is the glory of God that matters, not me. Again, he says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Because the light shines out of darkness, He made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Because of what he has done in us, Brent. Because what he has done in us, Fred. Therefore, not because of who we are or what we can do, but because of who he is and what he can do, we speak. Listen to this. Quote, it seemed to me I should never have any success among the Indians. My soul was weary of my life. I longed for death beyond measure. That's what David Brainerd wrote in the early 1700s about his ministry to the Native Americans. He says, things did not improve for 2 years. Brainerd felt his prospects of winning converts were as dark as midnight. 3 years into the work, though, he finally witnessed a revival among the Indians in New England. And 18 months later, the number of converts was 150, which was highly significant in that day. Brainerd died after only 5 years on the mission field. He was 29 years old. By all accounts, you know, here is a man who is greatly discouraged, greatly distressed, because he's seen nobody get saved. He had gone there sacrificing everything to minister to those Indians, and very little, if nothing, was happening. But he journaled throughout that time. He journaled through those discouraging times, and he kept ministering. After his death, Jonathan Edwards published Brainerd's journals. William Carey, called the father of missions, was inspired to take up missions by the journals, which resulted in millions of people being saved. David Brainerd died at 29 years old, not having affected all that many people in his life, but he stayed the course because the one who called him was the one who mattered to him. It didn't matter so much about him. Yes, he was discouraged, but through his discouragement, he kept on ministering. He did not give up. And ultimately, millions upon millions of people were saved around the world. Pushing through discouragement can mean the salvation of many, many souls. Once again, if the enemy of our soul can turn us with discouragement, he will. If he can slow us down, you know, the Lord gives great talents to individuals, pours into some lives more so than others. And those are the ones that the enemy loves to go after, because he knows if he can stop that person, if he can slow them down, if he can keep them from working for the kingdom of God through discouragement, then he is conquered many souls. As I said to you last week or the week before, don't forget, you are the only one who has influence over your world. Nobody else equals you. You have individuals in your world that no one else can touch. Paul goes on in verse number 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Here we go. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? Why? Why do I have to deal with this flesh of mine? Huh? I was the healthiest person in the world before I turned 40. Those of you that are approaching 40, look out. Those of you like Larry that are well past it, look out. Hey, you know, you start realizing that the flesh is dying. But your spirit can be soaring. I said, the flesh is dying, but your spirit can be soaring. Listen to what he says. Maybe you can identify with some of this. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. The enemy may be able to beat us to a pulp, but as long as there's still breath in us, there's still a witness, there's still the glory of the Lord, and we can still move forward. You say, well, why doesn't God intervene? Why doesn't he keep the enemy from doing those things to us? Why doesn't he keep us from being sick? Think about how he tells us the reason. What did he say there in verse 7? We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Hallelujah. Have you made it your focus to keep ministering right on through your infirmity, your struggle? Or has your struggle stopped you in giving out the message of the gospel? Because there's a frailty in your flesh. We need to understand this stuff, this thing is just earthiness. Made from dust, and dust it will return. But the Spirit of the Lord, the power and the glory of God is planted inside of this dusty jar. And that's where the glory's at. Because all the glory and all the honor and all the praise comes to Him. You know, when I am strong in body and feeling on top of it and get up to minister, I will walk away and think to myself, well, my study kind of paid off there. I think I brought it forth with clarity and, you know, it went pretty good. I think I even saw somebody nod at me one time. But when I come to the pulpit and I'm hurting, I'm weak, and I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't think I can make it through this. And I step into the Word of God and He gives the strength to be able to minister. You know what? I walk out going, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, on those days where you've got the headache, you know, the headache. How many know what I'm talking about? The headache. Huh? You know, that one that's a recurring thing that comes back around way too often. All you want to do is just find a dark place and draw your legs up to your, go into a fetal position or whatever. You know, that may be the day when you have the headache that you can be the most effective for the Lord. Because then the one who shines is not you, but it is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ shining through you. So, oh, I don't know how that's possible. I can hardly see on those days. Well, that may be true. But listen to the voice of the Spirit. Because on that day, He may send you to someone else. He may open up one of the greatest doors of ministry on that day. You believe it? What did Paul say? Come on. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are pressed, hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen to verse 10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. What does it mean? Even as we are deteriorating toward death, life from the Spirit is increasing in those we minister to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me finalize this, because in verse number 13, he says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. That's from Psalm 116, verse 10. I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, what you have in this is kind of an interesting thing, because see, they were accusing Paul. We learned that earlier on. They were accusing him. They said, you know what? If you are really an apostle, you should not be going through all the stuff you're going through. If the Lord's hand is upon you, you shouldn't be having all these afflictions and struggles and difficulties and being thrown into jail and all of this. It shouldn't be happening if you're really of God. But Paul's saying, hey, you're missing the point. He said, because really this is not about me. He says, this is about the glory of the Lord shining forth. And he says, if the Lord will shine through me from a prison cell, though it seems to be absolutely impossible, how can a man chained in a prison, in a dungeon, how can that man bring glory to the Lord? He sets and he dictates to somebody a letter to a church that is still being read 2,000 years later. Tell me he knew that was going to happen. No. What he did was, he said, the enemy is not going to slow me down. He may chain me to this wall, but he's not going to stop me. He was imprisoned in Rome, but when he writes later about his time in Rome, he said the whole household of Caesar heard about Christ. You know how? Because every time they would chain a soldier next to him, he would tell that man about Jesus. Now see, wouldn't it have been very easy to have gone, okay, I've had enough of this. It's been a few years now. I've had enough of this. I've been chafing against this. And this is just absolutely ridiculous. And when the next guy came in and said, you know, this is ridiculous that I am here. They won't even give me a trial. I'm just stuck in here. This is ridiculous. And just pour all kinds of yucky stuff all over that guy. But you know what he chose to do? Instead, here comes a new guy. He says, hey, I got something to tell you. Ringle, 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 you know. Let me tell you about what the Lord has done for me. He said, see, I opposed Jesus. And I was putting people in prison. But on a Damascus road, a light shined down out of heaven, stopped me in my tracks. He said to me, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Why do you kick against me in the way you are? He stopped me right then and there. He blinded me for 3 days. And then when he opened my eyes, I realized that I had found the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, he lives. He lives today. He was risen from the dead and he's alive. And he can be alive in you. And apparently that message to those guards, they probably said, oh, we've got to send another guy in there. Every one of these guys that come out, they come out believers. They're wanting to set that guy free. Give me another. Give me a real tough one this time. Give me the Onrea soldier you can find. Chain him next to Paul. Such was his testimony that it went all the way up into Caesar's household. While he's chained, folks, in prison. We let our light and momentary afflictions slow us down and stop us when we've got the message of the glory of God in our lips. Well, let me finish. Verse number 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is only temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, what you may be going through in the moment, I'm not diminishing it. It may be incredibly difficult, but it's only temporary. You hear me? It's only temporary. That affliction that you're carrying in your body that calls for so much of your attention, it's only temporary. But what is inside of you is eternal. I've heard this, and probably some of you have heard this illustration before, but you take a $20 bill. Who would like this $20 bill? Lloyd, you would? You would? So the rest of you, would you like a free $20 bill? Come on, be honest now. I would have pulled out 100, but I didn't have one. Could have, but I didn't. Okay. But $20, it could be yours. Okay. Now who wants it? What about now? Huh? How about now? Lloyd still wants it. Now, either he's really poor or greedy. It's gone. Oh, there it is. Or the value of this bill is not determined by its condition. You get it? The value of your life in Christ Jesus is not determined by your present condition. You may feel trampled on, spit upon, maybe going through some really, really tough times. But let me tell you something. If my Lord Jesus lives inside of you, you have some pretty glorious things to talk about. That's why he says, don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away. Those of us that are getting a little bit of age on us, you can attest that. Stuff starts breaking down. You get up slower, you go down faster. And in awkward ways. But yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. I hope that's you. I hope that's you. I hope that you have already caught a hold of this, and that you realize that, you know, yeah, this flesh, it's temporary. And the stuff that happens to it, temporary. But what's going on inside my heart, that's eternal. And you know, others need what's going on inside our heart. But could we be honest for a minute? What do we talk about most? What's going on the outside, don't we? Oh, man. Oh, wow. Ooh. Oh. Huh? Have I told you lately how much this thing is hurting, you know? In case you hadn't noticed, let me carry it. Huh? We want to talk about the temporary, when the thing that will change their life is the eternal. Don't lose heart. But be renewed day by day by the power of the glory of the presence of the Lord. Let the knowledge of the Lord pour over your life. There's somebody waiting to hear about your Jesus. I would imagine they're probably going through some stuff, maybe just like you. You could just have your identity with them in the stuff that you're going through. Or you could say, hold on a minute, you know, my body's breaking down. I have that in common with you, but my spirit is soaring in Christ. He's preparing me for something greater. And may he receive the glory and the honor and praise.